Hi, I'm Deborah Lindad, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, April 8th, 2015, and if I sound different than usual, it's because I'm having technical problems with my computer and my microphone today, and I'm speaking to you via the old-fashioned telephone, a corded phone, not a cell phone, a corded phone, not even a cordless phone, but a landline corded telephone, so there's no EMFs here, on this phone at least. Anyway, so today we're going to be talking, it's the every other Wednesday for my guest Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist, who talks about natural ways to handle health problems without prescription drugs. Even though she is a pharmacist, she prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural things. And I have her on every other Wednesday. So it's this Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays ago, 2 Wednesdays coming up, and we always have something interesting to hear from Pamela. Today we're going to be talking about hidden dangers in common dietary supplements. And did I say this is Pamela Seafeld? I'm a little bit distracted at the moment because of all these technical difficulties. Anyway, my guest today is Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist. Hi, Pamela.
Sorry about your computer issue.
Me too. Me too. You know, it's just, you know, technical things. And I've already had, this is now the second computer that I've had problems with in terms of plugging the audio in. So I just need to solve this. But we'll do fine on the phone today.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, hidden dangers in common dietary supplements. There's so many things we could talk about with this. Where would you like to start?
Well, I would like to start, and this is actually very timely. New York Times.
Oh, wait, before you talk about that, there was something else we were going to talk about.
Lots of things I can talk about, but it's like this, it's showing up everywhere for sure.
The thing that I wanted to talk about was that, let me just check something first. The thing I wanted to talk about was that Pamela, a few weeks ago, told me about a recipe that she had tried and that she really loved, which was to make flax chips. Now, some of you may have heard of making flax chips, which is you just take flax seeds and you soak them, and then you put them in a dehydrator or a low oven. And when you soak flax seeds, they turn into kind of a little gelatinous mess. And so they stick together then when you dehydrate them, and they make these great crunchy chips, but they don't taste like much. And I had made them before, and I thought this was a great way to eat flax seeds, and they're so nutritious for you. But Pamela makes them in a different way. She adds tomatoes and onions and all kinds of things, and I made them her way this week, and they were so good I couldn't stop eating them. So I have them. I put it up on my food blog. If you go to, just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com, and up at the top, just click on food, and you'll see Pamela's premium flax chip.
You're so cute. That's hilarious. That's funny. That's really very
so
funny.
Do you want to say anything else about your flax chips?
Well, I think everyone would really enjoy them, and what's good about them is that they're basically, they don't have calories. They're going to be negligible calories because really flax seeds, when you have them whole, they pretty much go through you untouched to some degree. You do absorb some omega-3s from it, but what's good about it is that it's a low-calorie, very filling snack. I snack on those a lot when I'm working late at night because you don't want to eat something really heavy, but you want to have something that satisfies, and it really fills you up. And since it's no calories, it's a very good tool for weight loss, and it's just super healthy and super cheap to make and easy. That I
super
think
cheap.
Your listeners will just really find that this is just super, super easy. I mean, I make it. It takes me a matter of a minute. And then put them in the dehydrator, the oven,
long.
Or whatever you want to do. It's very quick, and it anyone could do it. Even kids could do it. It's very, very simple.
I told a friend of mine about this recipe yesterday, and I told him it was weightless. Because he says, weightless?
Yes.
And I said, yeah, because there's no calories. There's no fat. There's fat, but it's, you know, omega-3s, and there's, you know, it just doesn't affect your weight at all. And you can eat them, and they're so delicious with all the vegetables in them. And, again, just go to toxicfreetalkradio.com and click up at the top in the menu, it says food, and today the recipe is right there on top for Pamela's Premium Flax Chips. Okay, so as long as we're talking about that.
The name. I'm just laughing at the name. I think it's very cute. I really appreciate you doing that. I think I love to have that shared with everybody. I know they're going to really enjoy it.
Thank you, and I have a little picture. You can go there after the show and see my picture of the little flax chips on the little dish.
Oh, my gosh. That is so funny. You're the best. That's hilarious.
But what I want to mention out of this is, first, before we talk about the hidden dangers in supplements, let's talk about why you should take supplements at all. Like, can't you get your supplements, all your nutrients out of food?
And that's a good question. Okay, so, you know, a lot of times you'll hear these people make these excuses saying, oh, I don't need to take any supplements because I'm getting everything in my food. We do get a lot of things in our food. That is true. Eating a varied, balanced diet of lots of fruits and vegetables, you are getting, especially the vegetables, you're getting a lot of phytonutrients that have high activity in all areas of the body, especially the fat-soluble tissues, depending on what you're eating them with. But in many cases, the amounts that you're getting, it's going to be sporadic, right? Because you're not eating the same thing every day. And also, too, you have to eat, if you're making green juices and so forth, you're probably getting a lot more of the enzymes of the plant. But in most cases, you're taking the supplements, you're getting these things that you're not going to have high amounts of. Like, good case in point, vitamin D. People think, oh, you go out in the sun, you're getting enough vitamin D. But we know that the amount of D you make in your skin is inconsequential. It really doesn't matter. So your sun tanning is never going to bring up your D level very much. So supplements need to be employed in those cases. Also, too, there's like resveratrol is a good example. That, you know, how many gallons of red wine are you going to have to drink to get enough resveratrol to have a therapeutic outcome? It's not going to be possible. I'm still even a big fan of taking a quality multivitamin because you're really just getting a little bit of everything. The vitamins you have to be careful of not taking too much are vitamins A, D, E, and K, which are the fat-soluble vitamins. You do need to use those to some degree, but those, when you're taking them in really high amounts, can damage the liver. So those are the ones that you'd really want to be careful of. But all the other vitamins, you're not really getting as much as you think out of some of your food, and a lot of it depends on what you're eating the food with. Are you taking it with a lot of fiber? Fiber binds up nutrients, too. There's a lot of other variables, and this way you're going to be very consistent on what you're getting.
So when you say fiber binds up nutrients, that means that you're not absorbing as many nutrients because of the fiber?
Correct. So right. So I'll give you a good example. Like in pharmacology, we tell patients if they're taking psyllium husk, if they're eating all bran extra fiber, when you take something that has really just basically the meal's mostly fiber, okay, it binds up everything in its path. So good case in point, these people that use psyllium powder in the morning to try and make themselves more regular, it's a bulk-forming laxative, and what it does is, you know, brings water into the gut, and it forms this bulky gelatinous stuff in the GI tract, and it moves through, and it binds up cholesterol on its way through and kind of moves its way through the GI tract, but it also binds up medications and supplements. So if you're taking a lot of psyllium, or if you're making, I know I was using a lot of vegan recipes that use psyllium, like for a pie crust, you know, if you're making like a torte
right,
or something, you have to realize that you're not going to be absorbing most of the nutrients out of the food you're eating in the proximity of 2 hours of consuming them. That's important to realize. Same thing with all bran extra fiber. I'll just give that as an example. The thing is, it's all fiber. That's all it is. Eating that for breakfast with a banana and milk, you're not going to be absorbing your vitamins. So you need to separate that by at least 2 hours. So those are just some examples. Fiber itself, but I'm talking about where the meal is mostly fiber. I'm not talking about a salad which contains fiber, or like I had a pear this morning has fiber. That's different. But something that's specifically a bulk-forming laxative, and it's all it is fiber on that particular meal, you're going to really have impairment of absorbing anything, especially medications, too. So that's very important for somebody that's actually on medicines from the doctor. You're not absorbing them if you take it with that type of a meal.
I think that what you just said is so important, and especially when people on what one could probably call an alternative diet, where they're trying to avoid some kind of food product, and so they substitute other things.
Correct.
The psyllium husks is a substitute kind of ingredient that I see frequently in recipes. and that if it has that effect, then all your nutrients you just aren't getting your nutrients from that meal. It's important to know about these foods. We need to go to break, but we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. And she's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And we'll be right back to hear more from Pamela. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who dispenses... I'm so distracted because of all the technical things going on here. And there's my page. Okay. So anyway, you know she's Pamela Seafeld. Pamela, why don't you...
You're so funny.
I'm sorry.
Oh my God. So
tell us about why people should call you. Give your phone number and
here's something. People should call me Pamela Seafeld, clinical pharmacist, because I've been doing this probably 25 years. I specialize in medical homeopathy, so a lot of the products that you would get from me will not be available at the health food store. I actually teach this. And the things I'm using, I see children, I see adults, and I can treat anything from ADD. I specialize in mental health, but also if you have high cholesterol, if you have low energy and fatigue, chronic fatigue, viruses, anything that's going on in your body that you would like to address. My consultations are free. I'm here in my pharmacy pretty much every day. And you can call me here at Botanical Resource in Clearwater, Florida. It's 727-442-4955. And I would be greatly honored to help you and your family with any medical need you might have. And also, if you're actually inquiring to transition off of prescription drugs, I can assist you in that as well.
Yes, and she's very good and very well regarded, and I say that all the time, but it's true. All right, so Pamela, tell us about hidden dangers in supplements. Where do you want to start with that?
Well, we can start with the article at the front page of the New York Times today. When I was reading this morning, it's titled "Study Warns of Diet Supplement Dangers Kept Quiet by FDA," and basically what they're talking about is that there is there's a chemical that they want to assign that it's available in this acacia plant, okay? But it maybe not necessarily is what's actually in the products. And this particular chemical called MBPEA acts like a stimulant. And a lot of these diet products that have been available, they're actually containing these stimulants, and that could actually be dangerous for patients. And the FDA really wasn't keeping track of that, because what was happening on the labels of these products is that they were actually putting that this particular plant was in there. But actually, instead of using the plant, they were actually spiking the product with this MBPEA, which actually is a stimulant. And so that's how people were losing weight with it. So if you have a heart condition or you have high blood pressure, you wouldn't be taking these things, but if you don't have it labeled properly, you wouldn't know that you're taking these chemicals that are stimulants and are potentially very dangerous. So it's front page of New York Times today if you want to see it. I was reading the paper this morning, and it was pretty bad. And I'm not surprised. And then, of course, it wasn't even a month article had come out talking about how that they went and tested several different herbal products that were available at major manufacturers, that were at, you know, regular drug stores, and that were, you know, even at GNC, and what they were finding is that they did not contain what they said they were containing. So that's just part of it, and that's more of an adulteration and the fact that they don't contain things. But some of the dangers, and we'll kind of move beyond that, but
let me ask you a question first. What is the law about labeling these things? I know that on food labels, like if it's a food product like ketchup or something, they have to tell you, they have to tell you everything. Let me just explain about food labels, is that they have to, it's like if you were in your kitchen and you put in sour cream and ground beef and flour, you would have to list on the label sour cream, ground beef, and flour, but you wouldn't have to list the ingredients of the sour cream. And so there could be all kinds, if you see on a label something like ham, for example, would have all kinds of nitrates and coloring and stuff like that that you might see on the ham label if you were buying a ham. But if you're buying a ham sandwich and it just says ham on the label, it doesn't have to say all the ingredients that are in the ham. So that's the rule for food products. What's the rule for supplement products?
Okay, so that's a good question. The rule for supplement products is probably, most likely you don't have to be listing everything. The ingredients are in there, okay? But what the problem is that it's a voluntary process to follow good manufacturing practices and have the FDA inspect your facility. So there's especially these wild-crafted products or people maybe do private labeling, you don't necessarily know what's in there, okay? And that's these things will be changing. That's for sure. But now the way the law stands is that if you are a medication company, a pharmaceutical company, and you manufacture something, it has to follow good manufacturing practices, okay, GMPs. And that this is a group of regulations, it's rules, it's a huge book, and you pay the FDA to come in and inspect your facility. If I'm manufacturing a pharmaceutical product, I don't have a choice. I have to do that. I have to do it. I pay them to come in. They come in. They issue, you know, a certificate of authenticity, whatever you want to call it, of what's going on in that particular facility, the way the machines are being cleaned, the product labeling, so forth and so on. And so that's what that process. But with herbal products and supplements, that doesn't take place unless you want it. So the whole idea is it's a cachet of a company that manufactures herbal products to say, look, we have GMPs, we have these people inspect our facility, and that's what separates the poor products from the other products. But like I said, too, it's very important to realize about private labeling. A lot of people that are practitioners might label, like, Pamela's vitamins. Well,
right, I've seen that. Doctors have their own brand.
Doctors do that a lot. Chiropractors do that a lot. You don't know necessarily what you got there because it's like a third party. Basically, how that works, too, is like I'll go to a company and they say the private label. I go to them, they put my name on the label, and I have to order, you know, let's say $2,000 worth or whatever it is. It's like a minimum order, and I have all this product. And the reason why most people do that is because you can use kind of inferior quality products, but you still, you know, it has this cachet of like it's a personal product. But, you know, it's not really my vitamins. It's somebody putting my name on whatever they're manufacturing. And that's important for people to know. And that's why I'm not a big fan of private labeling because of that. And that's what I was going to say. The talk today is about hidden dangers, but you really need to know what you're getting. So the dangers that have been showing up in these articles that have been front page news should be really looked at seriously. They're very dangerous, and just the fact that they're not figuring this out, and it's been going on for a long time. And also, you need to realize that, you know, good manufacturing practices, if they're not being adhered to in the facility where the product's being made and private labeling, you don't know where that's coming from. It could have a lot. The machines might not be cleaned properly.
Okay. Good. We're going to, the thing that comes to mind is that maybe there's something you're allergic to that might still be on the machine.
Exactly.
And that somebody who's like allergic to peanuts or something like that, soy, a lot of things, you don't even know if they're in there. We need to go to break. So you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. My guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. And today we're talking about hidden toxic dangers that may be in some of those natural substances, supplements that you might buy in various different places. So, Pamela, go on with,
I'm talking about private label.
Yeah, we were talking about private label.
And just the fact that not only that they're going to be bad, it's that there's going to be inadequacies in you know, analyzing the quality of it because it's really not that person's vitamins. It's obviously a company, and most of the time when people private label, they shop these things around and they want to make the most profit off the bottle. Like my stuff here, I can't tell you, I don't even know what I pay for it. I have a staff running these things, you know, so I don't know. But, you know, if you're going to put your name on a product, a lot of times people will do whatever they're making the best profit on. So maybe the products aren't going to be necessarily good. Now, another thing for evaluating hidden dangers is when you see a product on the back of the label, it has all these little asterisks next to it with all the ingredients. I don't like that. Excuse me. The reason why I would prefer not to use those types of products is because you cannot evaluate how many milligrams of each product is in there to make a dose, right? So, like, if someone brings me a product and they bought it someplace at a health food store and it's got all these little asterisks next to it, when you look at that, there's no way to adequately evaluate, you know, what dose you're getting of each product. And so typically when they do this kind of thing and they have these blends of like all this stuff and there's little stars next to each one, so they don't tell you how many milligrams, the majority of the time it's the reason why is because they're putting more of the less expensive ingredient and less of the more more expensive ingredient, if that makes sense to you. So that's what's really happening. And so when you see those types of products, and there's a lot of multi-level marketing products that fall into those kind of categories, I have hesitancy in saying that they would be even safe, because you really have no way of knowing. And the real way to evaluate something is having faith that what you're seeing on the label is something that you can determine if this dose is appropriate for the individual. And that's where a pharmacy comes in. But a regular individual could look at that and say, I don't really know what I'm getting. And that could be a problem, especially if there's drug interactions or if the person has allergies. How do they know what they're even getting in the product?
Well, I think that a lot, I agree with you. I think that a lot of times people are taking these products because they want them to have a medicinal effect.
Yes.
And so if you don't know what's in it, I mean, part of getting the effect is knowing what you're taking and what's the dose.
Correct. And so if we can't adequately evaluate it because of the fact that they're really not revealing it on the label, I have some problems with that. So that's another thing. Now, the fact that there's heavy metals in some of the things, and I like to point to calcium supplements and lead. They're cleaning that up a little bit better than it was in the past, but there are, if you look at consumer labs, there are a lot of different products. Almost 20% of the products that they reviewed had some small amounts of lead in them. And, of course, lead, you know, is a neurotoxin, and that's something that we need to be cognizant of. And you have to think about, too, where the plants are grown. I mean, I have nothing against China, but I really would not be using a lot of any kind of these oriental products that are actually made in China. And the reason why is that the environmental pollution is so rampant there that if you're growing the plants there in the soil and in the air, the environment is pretty much destroyed as far as heavy metal contamination. And when these plants are eventually put into a product you're consuming, you might not really be aware of what you're getting, and that's very important. And not only that, too, you want the American companies, at least when you have plant material, they do genetic testing on it to make sure that's what's really in it. And that's actually how they found that the products that were being carried by these various pharmacies and GNC did not have that particular product, because they actually tested by DNA. And what they said the label was not what's in the bottle. So there's lots of room for error. I personally use a lot of products with companies that I really like and I know follow good manufacturing practices. And a good case in point is, like, if you go to the health food store, Nature's Way, Nature's Plus, they follow GMPs. You know, it's what they're saying is in the label. I actually went out to the Nature's Way plant out in Utah a long time ago and toured the facility, and it was very clean, and everything was, you know, the products were, that the plant material was being analyzed and checked for funguses and bacteria. And that's really important to know. If you go to the health food store and you're buying herbal products in bulk, you know, like maybe they'll have bulk, you know, whatever herb you're particularly buying, and it's in a bulk container, bacteria and funguses contaminate and bugs contaminate a lot of, you know, bulk raw herbs. So you got to be very, very careful about that. That would be something that, you know, if you have any issues with your immune system, if you're immunocompromised because maybe you've had a transplant, you have no business doing anything bulk. Those products need to be probably medical grade from a store that is specifically, you know, using products that have been tested to be free of bacteria. And that's probably important to know. I mean, I'm not sure what percentage of your population has immune issues, but even if someone's been having chronic herpes infections, chronic Epstein-Barr, any of that kind of stuff, your immune system's already low, and taking in bulk herbs, you know, that you're buying from like a container where you're measuring out, you know, so many grams of it or whatever you're buying, I would really have hesitancy in advising against that.
So that would be true for culinary herbs as well.
Correct.
I mean,
they're
all just the same herbs there in the little
Correct.
Jars.
Correct. And when it's in bulk. Right. So if you're buying something that's in a container, you know, that's pretty much been tested and it's probably free of that. But mold, too, and you know, you have to think about it. It's plant material. And there still might, even if it's been dehydrated, there still might be small amounts of water. And that's all it takes. And these are things that you can't see with the naked eye.
Right.
But if you're drinking it or eating it, it could be a big problem, especially if you're making an extract of it. And like I said, if the person's immune compromised, you might not realize why you're getting these infections. And it might be because of the bulk products. And you'd want to have something in a capsule that's been sealed, you know, that the top of the label's been sealed. That would make a big difference as well. Now I'm going to kind of switch over a little bit talking about mercury and fish oil products. And the best way to have mercury removed from omega-3s is by molecular distillation. It's like fractional distillation. You think about when they process oil in refineries, you know, there's columnar filtration, and there's certain things come off at certain points, and that's the same thing with fish oil. And we want to make sure that when we have something, it has been filtered in that sense that the mercury has been removed. I also have a problem, too, if you talk about hidden dangers, that if you have a really big bottle of fish oil, you buy something in bulk, by the time you're halfway through the bottle, there's so much degradation of the product inside because of oxygen being affected. That's another thing that you actually could end up with lipid peroxidation in coronary artery disease, even as a result of taking omega-3s, just because of the fact that it had become adulterated from the oxygen.
So are you talking about, we need to go to break. So I'll ask you this question when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She's a registered pharmacist who prefers to dispense medicinal plants and other natural substances instead of prescription drugs. Her website is botanicalresource.com, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Pamela Seafeld. She is a registered pharmacist who I'm just having one of those days. She's a registered. You know who she is. Okay, let's go on with your question.
Yeah, exactly. You know who I am. So we were talking about the large containers of fish oil.
And I had a question for you. Are you talking about large containers of like liquid fish oil or fish oil in capsules?
Both.
Okay. Because so my question is, does the capsule keep the fish oil fresh?
Not necessarily. It's just a more convenient dosing mechanism for some people. What we have to realize is that oils are sensitive to light, heat, and oxygen, in that order, actually. So we know that if something has oxygen coming into it in the bottle, what happens is each time that you open the bottle and take some pills out and then close the bottle, the oxygen is left in the bottle and it stays in there. And so what happens is the oil itself can start having degradatory products as a result of it and becomes rancid, but you don't really smell it because it's not really to the point. Like, think about it. If you kept a bottle of fish oil and you cut the top off and you had it sitting out for, you know, weeks on end, eventually it would start to smell. So, but even though small amounts of oxygen that you keep letting in when you keep opening the cap, there's some problems with that. So a case in point, like Costco and Sam's, they sell fish oil in these huge, big containers. That's not good. Yes, that's not good. People think they're getting such a deal. It's not a good deal. Because you really want to have a bottle of fish oil that has, you know, maybe 120 in it or 90 capsules, whatever the case may be, and use that up within a month and get a fresh bottle after that. Because each time you're opening it up and you're letting the capsules out, letting oxygen into the bottle, the degradatory products that are going to be present there in the liquid or in the capsules, either way, those are bad because they have free radicals. And so when you're consuming those, you know, those free radicals, depending on your antioxidant status at the time when you consume them, can be probably detrimental to the blood vessels. And I really wanted to talk a little bit, just briefly, we're talking fish oil, just really quickly. There was a study that came out maybe a few weeks ago, and it was talking about how fish oil is shown that the benefits were not really derived there for these patients that had heart disease and that it really doesn't protect the heart and everything. And I want to point out something to your listeners, that those patients that were in that study, and it's very important to look at the study, had already had a heart attack and had heart disease. So what I'm telling you is that, like, if you've already have a major health problem, you've had a heart attack or you have heart disease, bad heart disease, and I give you fish oil, are you going to be like you and me and you're going to be completely fine? Probably not. Right? Don't look at the studies and look at the population of the people that they use in that study. They didn't use healthy people. They used people that had already been sick, were on a bunch of cardiac medicines. They gave them fish oil and were trying to see if it protected against further cardiac damage, and the studies showed that it probably didn't. And what that means is that maybe it's not just fish oil that's needed when these people are very sick and have heart disease. Maybe they need to be on B vitamins. Maybe they need to be on exercise. Maybe they need to be on a different diet, right? So all these other things. So it's not all or nothing. And I think that's important for people to realize that when they see this, because like, I've read the study, and people come in and say, well, I guess fish oil really doesn't do what it says it does. And that's all these negative studies that they think that they have, you need to look and see, if they were dealing with very, very sick people, you might not have the outcomes you're expecting, because the baseline health of these individuals is very poor.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I think that's a really important point to make. I think that people read just an article where a reporter who is not trained in these subjects writes something, and it doesn't, it's his understanding of what the study is. And when you go and read the study, it's sometimes completely different.
Well, it is. And many times it is. And I think, let's face it, if you're trying to make a name for yourself and you're a reporter, you know, these sensational titles really catch people's attention. You know, the fact that if they were with healthy individuals, maybe they really should have looked at what are they trying their outcome to be. Is a person's heart disease going to completely go away? Probably not. But, you know, maybe if they're using homeopathic cardiac glycosides, maybe if they're incorporating, you know, diet and exercise and some other things that we know have shown to be helpful, that maybe, you know, the outcomes would have been different. But when you deal with a patient population that already has some baseline health issues that are pretty severe, you might not always see the results that you want. Should this mean that a person that has really bad heart disease shouldn't take fish oil? No, they need to be taking it. But there might be other things, variables along with it, some lifestyle factors that probably are influencing it. And that's really important. So I don't want people to stop taking fish oil. And I think this was just, since we're talking about it, it's important to bring that up, because that doesn't mean fish oil doesn't work.
Right. Fish oil has a lot of other benefits as well. And
Yes.
And that said, that I'm really understanding in my own life very much lately that it's a combination of things, that everybody needs their own individual combination of things in order to build health. And we're all exposed to different things. Our bodies are different. And it's not just one thing. It's not even just one thing of avoiding toxics. I think that everybody needs to avoid toxic chemicals. Everybody needs to get toxic chemicals out of their bodies, as I think like a baseline thing. But then after that, there's still other things that are needed. And
what you're saying is these are inter-individual. And that's why I like what I'm doing here, because I can select these things for you based on your family history and what you think you're more prone to or at risk for, or what situations you have cropping up. It's really important, and I can look at your blood work with you and say, these are things that I see that are coming. They're not being flagged yet, but I don't like these numbers, and we need to try and reverse those. And especially if you're dealing with anybody that has some pre-kidney issues or some pre-liver issues, those two things in particular are very, very bad, because you don't want to end up on dialysis and you don't want to end up with a liver transplant. So when those people, when you start seeing some things that are, there's some changes physiologically in the person and in their chemistry, their blood chemistry, those things you need to act on. And those people in particular would really want to be cognizant of what supplements they're taking, because you don't want to be taking anything that possibly is adulterated. And another thing too, when you see these supplements and it says, you know, ginkgo 2 for $1, that's not ginkgo. Right, because there's no way they would be able to sell that, and that's a lot of these products that were private labeled by these different pharmacies that were just really junk, and that they were picking them up because they were cheap. That's what really it is. They didn't go and explore to say, like, is this an adequate supplier? Do these people actually test these things? They weren't looking at that, because the bottom line, if you're a retail business and you're a chain nationwide, it's what profit am I making off of each bottle? And that's where a lot of people need to realize that, you know, the practitioner and the integrity of who's dealing with the products, that's very important.
Well, I want to say on your behalf, Pamela, I want to say to the listeners that it's really a very different experience working with Pamela, because not only does she have the products that she's investigated and evaluated for herself and has been using for many years, and she knows the people who are making them and things like that, but she also has the skill and experience to know exactly which product to give you, exactly which natural substance is going to do the thing that your body needs. And it's very different from just walking into a natural food store or a drugstore or any place like that, where you're just choosing something off the shelf without having the knowledge that she brings to this. And her knowledge is so great, and it's so... great in a large sense, and she's so experienced that she can just like choose the right thing and give it to you, and it just cuts right through to having the right solution.
Yeah,
it's a very different. I've never been to any kind of store like Pamela's Pharmacy. She just has something completely unique that is, I think, so needed in the world.
Well, I really appreciate that, and I really pride myself that what we're providing is a very valuable service here, and that people, once they realize that, you know, we're really kind of micromanaging their stuff and just looking at it, and we're doing it in a very economical way, that's what it's really all about, is making sure that people have quality choices, and especially if they're on prescriptions and they don't want to be on them, or if they're coming close to needing medicines. I see a lot of people that are coming here and that they maybe are needing medicine in sometime in the future, and I'll tell them exactly what they're going to eventually give them and say, you know, do you want to just kind of get rid of the problem now, and we can address that today. But I respect people if they want to triage something and say, okay, let's check the blood work in another month and see where they're at. We can do that too. And if it's still continuing to get worse, then you have to act on it. So I think people need to have choices, and especially I keep bringing up the kidney thing because there's some homeopathic stuff that I've been using for people with kidney issues and starting to have pre-kidney failure, and they're reversing pretty significantly, and I'm even astounded at the numbers. A big difference in people's serum creatinine. In fact, I'm doing some speaking next week, which is continuing education for the doctors, and I'm going to be citing some of the blood work. I blacked out the names and everything, but citing the blood work of people that actually went on some inexpensive, simple medical homeopathy, and his pre-kidney failure was reversed in a month, and that's to me is just unbelievable. I mean, I wouldn't even expect the results to be that good.
Yeah.
Huge differences. So people need to know there are choices for that, and I'd be very grateful to help you in anything, especially. And if you have questions about a supplement you're taking, we're talking about these hidden dangers, but if you have a question about any kind of contamination or anything that's going on with it, you know, I'd be very grateful to look and see if we can find us some information, if there's some questions about some kind of adverse reaction that you've been having to a supplement you've been taking, because there's a lot of that much more prevalent than you would think.
Well, we only have about 20 seconds left, so why don't you give your phone number again?
Yes, absolutely. My number here at my pharmacy is 727-442-4955, and I would be very grateful to help you and your family with any questions you might have about your medications or your supplements.
And thank you very much, Pamela. And we'll be back again in 2 weeks with another show with Pamela Seafeld, registered pharmacist. And you're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.